At the core of compliance requirements is the company's obligation to know its data. What types, where is it stored and maintained, and what security overlay exists to protect the data from cyber attacks and other possible breaches. Data compliance programs have to include risk-based procedures to verify data transactions, including the types and volumes of data involved in the transactions, the identity of the transaction parties, and the end use of the data. More importantly, DOJ expects companies, U.S. individuals, and entities to take reasonable steps to know their data, especially when dealing in bulk U.S. sensitive personal data and/or government-related data.
Global companies face unprecedented risks and challenges in today's economy. To mitigate these legal and economic risks, companies are rapidly embracing and elevating the importance of robust ethics and compliance programs to promote positive corporate citizenship. On Corruption, Crime, and Compliance, you'll hear from industry leaders and insiders about how to create effective ethics and compliance programs that will mitigate risks and maximize financial performance. Here's your host, Michael Volkoff.
Welcome. This is Michael Volkoff, and this is episode 366. We're going to talk today about the Justice Department's new data security program. This is a pretty significant development. Some people are wondering, wow, this came out of nowhere, but actually this has been a long time coming. The Justice Department in early 2025 issued a final rule implementing Executive Order 14117, which was directed at preventing access by certain countries to sensitive personal and government data. No one would question the need for this initiative, and the Trump administration recently enacted these regulations to block countries of concern and persons of interest, including China, Cuba, Iran, North Korea, Russia, and Venezuela, from gaining access to sensitive data. Effective April 8th, the data security program prohibits or restricts U.S. persons and companies from engaging in any transaction involving U.S. government-related data or bulk U.S. sensitive personal data, and restricts the transfer of certain data. The new rules include additional requirements that need to be enacted by October 6th, 2025. To assist companies in compliance, DOJ issued compliance guidance and FAQs, and they defined a 90-day hiatus on enforcement ending on July 8th, 2025, so that companies can focus on compliance. Now, the DSP, and that's the Data Security Program regulations, identifies classes of prohibited and restricted transactions. These are called covered data transactions. And then they exempt certain transactions. But they also identify countries of concern and classes of covered persons and defines key terms, numeric thresholds above what a data set is considered bulk, and establishes a process to issue general and specific licenses authorizing otherwise prohibited or restricted transactions. Now, the DSP applies to all U.S. persons and companies that engage in covered data transactions involving countries or persons of concern. Now, this is going to have the most impact on people who deal with China, because you're not really going to see as many sort of data transactions except perhaps with China. It also applies to any entity or, and there's a lot of parallels here to sanctions regulations, but any entity or individual 50% or more owned by a country of concern, any entity organized under the laws of a country of concern, and entity that has its primary place of business in a country of concern. So this is where it gets kind of interesting. Now, let's talk about what U.S. sensitive personal data includes. A whole lot of human genomic, epigenomic, proteomic, transcriptomic data, biometric identifiers, precise geolocation data, personal financial data, and personal identifiers, government IDs, device identifiers, demographic or contract data. And the prohibition is basically keyed to the amount of data that's collected in any format over a 12-month period, whether it is one data transfer or multiple. So if, for example, your human genomic data applies to 100 or more U.S. persons, that's considered a bulk transaction covered and prohibited to countries of concern. if you are involved in the transfer of personal financial data. And this is data that goes from the United States out to China, not the other way. And that's the important thing here, because they're trying to restrict the outflow and access to countries of concern on sensitive U.S. data. So personal financial data is 10,000 plus U.S. persons, and covered personal identifiers is 100,000 plus relating to U.S. persons. So once you hit that, either in the course of a year, that's a prohibited then transaction. So you need to look at how much data you might transfer to, let's say, a Chinese operation that you have, and you've got to be careful about that, or a Chinese partner, a Chinese joint venture partner. This is where the issues can get pretty detailed, and you need to put in some time to understand. This is going to have some significant impacts, particularly on companies that are very intensely involved with China. U.S. government-related data, the second category of prohibited or restricted, includes precise geolocation data and sensitive personal data linked to government employees. So that means that a transacting party markets as linked or linkable to current or former employees or contractors or former senior officials of the United States government. Now, depending on the nature and category of a data transaction, the DSP prohibits, restricts, or exempts various transactions. Prohibited are data brokerage, that is, the sale, licensing, or similar commercial transactions involving the transfer of data from a provider to a recipient who did not collect or process the data directly, and human genomic data, that is, transactions involving access to bulk human omic data, genomic type of data, or human biospecimens from which such data could be derived. Now, restricted transactions include, subject to certain exemptions, the following transactions and types of agreements may be permitted, conditioned on compliance with security conditions. One, vendor agreements where a person provides goods or services to another person, including cloud computing, in exchange for payment or other consideration. These transactions must comply with security requirements to prevent unauthorized access to covered data. Employment agreements. Imagine you're working with a Chinese partner and you're going to have employment agreements where a person gains direct or indirect ownership of a U.S. legal entity or real estate. Passive investments such as publicly traded securities are excluded. And there's a whole host of exempt transactions that I'm not going to go down. But during the 90-day enforcement pause period, individuals and companies are expected to make good faith efforts to comply with the DSP, including conducting internal reviews of sensitive data access, reviewing data sets for DSP applicability, renegotiating vendor agreements, transferring products to new vendors, conducting due diligence on new vendors, negotiating transfer provisions with foreign counterparts, adjusting employee roles or locations, evaluating investments from countries of concern, and renegotiating investment agreements and implementing computer security, cybersecurity requirements. Violations of the DSP can lead to civil and/or criminal penalties. And so companies need to conduct DSP data assessments to identify sensitive personal data and government-related data and calculate whether such data reaches DSP bulk threshold levels. As a second step, companies should assess security protocols and capabilities like encryption, masking, and other privacy enhancement. So, like any compliance program, companies need to train employees with access to or responsible for handling data and develop appropriate auditing and monitoring programs. This is a whole new regulatory framework. It's comprehensive and it raises significant risks. And not just if you're involved in the data business, this is data that may be generated as a result of your operations, normal business, typical business operations in countries of concern, including China. It's important to review DOJ's FAQs and compliance guide and notice a lot of parallels with OFAC's sanctions regime. And it's a good first step in terms of understanding what you're looking for. So again, you're looking at covered data transactions, bulk transactions, which occur over a 12-month period, U.S. sensitive personal data, government-related data, and providing such data to a covered person or a country of concern. Again, the new DSP does not apply to domestic data transactions unless one of the U.S. parties is a prohibited person or company. Similarly, a U.S. person is not prohibited from gaining access to a covered country or person's data. Again, this is the intent is to prohibit or restrict transactions from the United States to a foreign country or person. This is going to be administered by the Justice Department's National Security Division, and they're going to have a regulatory page dedicated to this. Again, we talked about the prohibited transactions and those transactions that are restricted or conditioned. The countries of concern, as I mentioned earlier, is China, which includes Hong Kong and Macau, Cuba, Iran, North Korea, Russia, to the extent you're still doing business with Russia, and Venezuela. Covered persons include non-U.S. entities that are headquartered in or organized under the law of a country of concern, in China, for example, in Venezuela. Non-U.S. entities 50% or more owned by a country of concern or covered person. Again, state-owned entities are going to be caught up in this. In non-U.S. individuals who are resident in a country of concern, primarily resident, and non-U.S. individuals who are employees or contractors of a covered person or country of concern government. And then DOJ is going to have a covered person list, which will be released shortly and then updated regularly. So again, your searches now are going to have to include the DSP database. I mentioned that there are going to be general and specific licenses that can be authorized. And just like OFAC, they work in the same way. The general licenses are self-executing. They will be part of the regulatory framework. Specific license is going to be handled for particular individuals or entities and transactions. Now, consistent with the DSP, persons may seek administrative reconsideration of their status as a designated covered person. That's going to be probably similar to the OFAC SDN delisting process, is what I would look for. To address retransfer risks, and here we go with third parties again, by foreign third parties to countries of concern or covered persons, the DSP only allows a U.S. person to engage in a covered transaction involving data brokerage with a foreign person that is not a covered person if the U.S. person satisfies certain conditions. One, they use contractual language in which the foreign person agrees not to resell or give access to a country of concern or covered person to the bulk U.S. sensitive personal data or government-related data. And two, disclosing to NSD, the Justice Department, any known or suspected violations of this contractual provision. Now, if a U.S. person has declined to engage in a suspected prohibited transaction, the U.S. person may inform the covered person or country of concern representative that they rejected the offer and will be reporting it to DOJ, National Security Division. Under the DSP, a U.S. person has 14 days to report a rejected transaction. Now, let's talk about the deadline that's coming up. And as if we didn't need yet another set of responsibilities on our plates, DOJ dropped this other shoe to join tariffs, sanctions, export controls, and immigration issues. And it upped the stakes for ethics and compliance programs. This is a new set of regulations governing data security, and companies have a 90-day head start. Once we get to July 8th, DOJ warned that the enforcement games begin. While these dates and statements should have hit everyone hard, the reality is that DOJ will definitely take its time to implement a mature and aggressive enforcement regime. In the absence of a blatant and knowing violation, DOJ will exercise some discretion in recognition of the significant burden placed on global companies. In its April 11, 2025 announcement package, DOJ included a guidance on a DSP compliance program. Aside from the well-known elements of a compliance program, which we've been over and over and over, DOJ explained that due diligence programs should be applied to company vendors pursuant to a written policy along with required cybersecurity policies. Further, DOJ noted that companies should conduct an independent annual audit to ensure overall effectiveness of the compliance program. At the core of compliance requirements is the company's obligation to know its data. What types, where is it stored and maintained, and what security overlay exists to protect the data from cyber attacks and other possible breaches. Data compliance programs have to include risk-based procedures to verify data transactions, including the types and volumes of data involved in the transactions, the identity of the transaction parties, and the end use of the data. More importantly, DOJ expects companies, U.S. individuals, and entities to take reasonable steps to know their data, especially when dealing in bulk U.S. sensitive personal data and/or government-related data. Companies have to track data transactions externally and internally and monitor categories and bulk numbers. U.S. companies that conduct data transactions involving cloud computing services will be required to file an annual report if a percentage threshold is reached, 25% or more of U.S. persons' equity interests are owned by a country of concern or covered person. The DSP rules are comprehensive and raise a number of tricky issues governing intra-company transactions and data sharing with employees. Add to the mix a host of record-keeping requirements, and you have a new and robust DSP compliance requirement. U.S. persons have to preserve records for 10 years, and specific requirements govern restricted transactions and other basic records. DOJ has the authority to request reports on any act, transaction, or covered data transaction. Now, U.S. persons and companies are not required to aggregate or decrypt their information to comply with Know Your Data requirements. Entities that use certain categories of data usually have access to user statistics to estimate the number of impacted individuals for the purposes of calculating whether or not you hit the bulk thresholds. Now, the stakes for DSP compliance will be high, especially given the designation of China as a country of concern. For companies that operate in China, DSP compliance must be an immediate focus. So let's talk about basic things that need to be done. One, design and implement DSP compliance policy with buy-in and support from leadership. They have to be educated. They have to be alerted to this requirement and the resources that may be involved. Identify and assess all of your data to ensure that you know the type and location of the data. Once understood, map it internally and the external flow of data, including the countries and then vendors, third parties, employment, and financial agreements. Three, incorporate a data security analysis with a keen eye on DSP risks, countries of concern, covered persons, and your two categories of data. Number four, incorporate robust due diligence requirements to identify all parties to a data transaction. Ascertain the status as a restricted or prohibited transaction by identifying the parties to the transaction and the ultimate user of the data. Five, define reporting requirements, record-keeping preservation procedures, monitoring and audit procedures. Six, prioritize DSP training as a new and important add-on to current training curriculum. Seven, appoint a qualified data security professional to lead the program and oversee the administration of it. As an important reminder, the data security officer should report directly to the CCO or CIO and ultimately to the compliance committee. So that's where we are. This is definitely a quick overview. There's lots more to talk about. I'm going to be scheduling a webinar in June to review all this and to talk more about the compliance requirements. All right, everybody, thanks again, and we'll see you next week on another episode of Corruption, Crime, and Compliance.
If you enjoyed this episode, the best way to support the show is by subscribing on your favorite listening platform. To learn more and connect with Michael Volkov, go to volkovlaw.com.